Well, well, well. We are back.
We are back.
AFL season four. Although it should have been AFL season one, had plans, everything going to plan. AFLW even. So welcome. You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy. You're with Fee. That's me. And I have in the studio with me Motti.
Hello.
Her parents call her Susanna. And Rachel to kick off the Chicks Talking Footy year. Welcome, Chicks.
Hello.
Welcome.
I also want to do a big thank you to the team at the bench, Dave and Beck. They carried the flame during the summer sports and
the
kept...
flame?
Carried the sports flame in our hearts.
So. I suppose so, the Olympic flame.
They might have. You never know. But thanks, Beck and Dave. Beck's having a well-earned rest from talking about sport.
But she'll be back on with all her segments in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. She will.
In the meantime, we'll pinch all her jokes.
I'm not going to rap, though.
Yeah. Now, firstly, how was your off-season trips?
Well, pretty good. I had a fair amount of time off, but I've just worked 2 weeks actually at the tennis.
You did?
I know. Shocked.
I know. You're a ball girl.
I know. I was kept messaging you girls and say, I'm sorry, I'm too tired. I'm actually working again.
Like, Molly, hurry up. What about you, Rachel?
Well, I spent my pre-season drinking and eating, and it was fantastic. So okay. I feel like I'm ready to roll into the football season.
So you're like James Warple, came back a bit chubby.
I am a bit chubby.
No, you're not at all.
What was your poison?
Prosecco.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Okay. It's a nice summer drink.
The diabetic special.
Yeah.
So on tonight's show, we're going to chat about all the footy news of the week. We're going to review the 2019 AFLW season because it's like when you watch a Netflix show but the other season finished 4 or 5 months ago and you need to remember the plot.
Oh, yes, of course.
So we're going to do that.
And we'll start from round one. We'll talk about every single game.
We've got all the stats. We're going to talk about the impact of the new four teams that are coming on this year into the AFLW family. And we're going to have a look at those four teams. We're going to chat to the head honcho, the head lady of AFLW, Nicole Livingston.
The big boss she is.
She is the big boss. And we've got lots of questions and she has all the answers. We're also going to catch up with Saints player Tilly Lucas-Rod, who's moved over from Carlton to the Saints. So we're going to have a chat to her about their new team and what's shaping up.
I think the Saints will be all right, you know. I think they've got a lot of good things in place and a lot of good players they've come across.
Well, they've pinched half of them from our Hawthorn VFLW team.
Oh, my God.
And
Beck,
our coach.
Bree,
help me out. I was
going
to say, including our coach.
Including our coach, but we're not bitter.
That's two and a half minutes.
Particularly because we have no AFLW team. I'm fine with it.
Hey, that was 2.5 minutes and you talked about Hawthorn.
Yeah, we started the year with you being the meat in the Hawthorn sandwich.
Let's just rewind and start the show again.
Remember to contact us. You can talk to us while we're here. 0427JOY949 or on air at joy.org.au. How are you feeling? Is your team debuting?
Are you excited that we're back?
Are you excited? Tell us how happy you are to have us back.
Yeah.
So, let's talk about 2019 AFLW season. Motti?
Should we do a question and answer and see how our brains have gone over summer?
Oh, my God.
I know, I do feel a bit rusty tonight, actually.
You didn't tell us about that.
Rusty Rachel. Who won?
Adelaide. Bzzz.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Damn.
And who did they play?
Carlton.
Yeah, good.
And okay.
They beat them by...
a lot.
7 million points.
Carlton played well for the first half, I thought. And then,
and then it was all downhill.
Well, to their credit, they were playing an incredible team and
they
did very well to get there.
They indeed were. Best and fairest for the season?
Emma Carney?
Incorrect.
Incorrect.
Erin Phillips?
Correct.
Was it?
Thank you.
Getting my years mixed up.
Emma won the year before. So the Crows won in 2017 and 2019, and Erin Phillips was best and fairest for both those years.
Wow.
And Emma was the sandwich.
Even with a new baby.
I know.
That's phenomenal.
Amazing.
I couldn't stand up.
Top goalkeeper.
Winner best and fairest.
Oh, yeah.
What, just generally? Or?
Just generally.
No, that was after all that Prosecco.
And the top goal kicker.
Oh, Stevie Lee Thompson.
Correct.
With 13 goals.
Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding.
Ding, ding, ding.
She was amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, that's
She was very exciting to watch.
Great start.
So hopefully she's a little pocket rocket again this year.
Yeah. Is she still with the Crows?
Yes,
I believe so.
Excellent.
Yes. Yeah, well, fair question.
There was so much trade movement.
I don't know who's who this year.
Yes.
But so the conference system was all sorts of issues with that last year, or the public furor.
Yes.
Good news, it's back. They're going again.
Good news, is it?
I don't know.
I'm undecided, I have to admit.
I know it was controversial last year, but I think we've got to give it time.
You have to do something.
With a short season.
You've got 14 rounds, that they're not to that point yet.
Mm.
So they've got to do it some way. I think just the issue was Carlton were so far behind Adelaide.
Exactly. It might be an interim special measure as opposed to what it's going to be like forever. I'm just more impressed they can play in summer. I walked for about a K in the 43-degree weather on Friday. I thought I was going to die. I do not understand how people play something like football in summer.
I know. It's like you can open the door and touch heat when it's that hot.
It's so impressive. Shows what elite sports people they are to be able to play this game in summer. It's very impressive.
Well, I mean, can we just get back to me? I walked 130 Ks in 2 weeks whilst working at the tennis. As
wow.
a ball girl.
Do that with your ball Fitbit girl, you rightly.
No, actually, I wasn't a ball girl. I was one of those people that dressed up in an enormous tennis ball with huge feet and just had to plop around the whole precinct.
Ah, that's awesome.
Mm. I was actually a renter crowd for the Today Show at the...
Were you?
Yeah, the Glam Slam. I was part of the Glam Slam.
Oh, yeah, that's right. What's the Glam Slam?
Well, it was the LGBTI tennis tournament.
Wow.
That was run on this last Sunday.
They played the final on court 3, which is,
rainbow colour. The Melbourne sign was in Melbourne colours.
That's wonderful.
Unfortunately, it was the same day as the Pride March, so it probably suffered in terms of numbers, but it was very exciting.
Mm.
Yeah, look, they did a great job and got heaps of promo out there, lots of media attention for it. So, anyway, I was the rent crowd.
Wow.
Good on you. That's your off-season news.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, you didn't ask me about my off-season.
Well, we've just found it out.
It's all the Prosecco.
Now, Moddy and I were down at the AFLW official launch
on Tuesday.
We'll talk about that in just a moment. You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9. And you're with Fee, Moddy and Rachel, and we are celebrating AFLW Season 4.
It's exciting.
It's it's amazing to think that we thought that, this would be Season 1.
We'll ask Nicole about that and see if this is... Are they happy with the progression and how quickly it's gone?
Look, I actually think, my personal opinion is, they did the exact right thing. The momentum was there and they took it and ran with it. And, there's bumps along the way, but we've got an attendance now of over 500,000 girls.
Oh, playing the game.
Playing the game. I think, it's been hugely successful in my opinion. But, Moddy, we were at the AFLW launch.
Yes.
And it was amazing. It was down at Melbourne Uni and they had it in an underground car park.
Yeah, it was quite unusual. Really dark and kind of atmospheric, 2001 Space Odyssey kind of vibe.
Oh, nice. Urban.
Urban, yeah. And they had all the captains there, so they introduced us to all the 14 captains. There was probably a couple hundred people there, would you say, Moddy?
Yeah, definitely. And they have, coffee, pastries, all sorts of stuff, and really great audiovisual packages and things like that.
Which I'll play you part of that video now. They released a new video promoting AFLW Season 4. It's one of those things that makes you feel really good.
Good feels.
We've almost got to stop being surprised about how big this league is. We were surprised the first night with the lockout.
No more room. The stadium is packed to capacity.
We were surprised that people showed up Season 2.
A record crowd here, 41,975.
We were surprised about the level of play in Season 3.
Oh, Harrison's got it!
A history-making night for the Cats. Kiara Bowers delivers for the Dockers.
Would be different than before.
And people are still talking about how surprised they were at the grand final and what an experience that was.
This is an AFLW record. This is history right here, right now.
I think you can expect a bigger spectacle than what we've had before. We've got 14 teams now.
The growth in the game has just been incredible. You look at these girls now and you now see actual athletes running out.
a little bit intimidating and scary now, and it's exciting. As much as I do love a pre-season, there's nothing that beats round one.
Terrific finish from Alicia Reaver. The Adelaide Crows AFLW premiers for the second time in 3 years.
I think that everyone needs to stop being surprised about where this league is and where it will get to. I want the attention, the spotlight to be on AFLW for years and years to come.
So that was the video that they showed, and it's also on the AFL Women's Facebook page, so you can see some of the visuals alongside that. But I just thought, I love it. They've really captured, I think, where, you know, where AFLW is at.
Chills. Little chills.
Well, whoever does those packages does a really good job.
They do.
Are really.
Well, I like the key message about, you know, stop being surprised and now working on having a sustainable and exciting competition. It's a good message.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. It has been such a huge success.
Mm.
I mean, to think that we're at right now after such a short amount of time is just incredible. And
it is.
It's only going to grow.
But I like it. Now it's time to just make it part of the fabric of sport.
Yeah, it's just part of our year.
Exactly.
And, you know, Gillon McLachlan spoke, Nicole Livingston spoke. As Faye said, all the captains came out and they really did. It almost looked smoky. They all kind of just appeared.
It was like superheroes.
On the stage. And, you know, they all look amazing.
Mm.
Daisy Pierce, you know, obviously can't happen with the boys having babies just yet. But for her to come back from twins, that is going to go down in history, isn't it?
It's incredible.
Well, I think there's going to be more and more women in that boat, aren't there? Having babies and then still playing sport and having their sporting career in the middle of it.
I mean, I don't mean that she's the first mother that's playing AFLW, but she...
She popped out too.
She's the first one to have twins and be back.
And fit, and she's a captain.
Yeah.
I mean, it's big pressure on her, though. I think people are really...
Yeah.
Expecting her to perform at a very high standard. I think she'll probably easily be able to do it. Mm. But there is quite a lot of pressure on her.
I suppose she's got like 25 babysitters in the club, doesn't she?
Yeah, she does.
Mm-hmm. And roster system.
Chelsea Randall was there, you know, representing Adelaide as the captain. And we had a chat to her. And after the chat, which was really interesting, and she's lovely as usual. I said, I probably should have recorded that, Chels. She goes, yeah, probably. Anyway, but we asked her about what, you know, that the club have still her as a captain, and that how does she feel about captaining and not playing? And she said, well, it's just a different role, and, you know, I've just got to get used to that, and I'm really going to take it on and do a great job, as good a job as I can with it.
Mm.
Yeah.
She's a real special. They'll really miss her.
I love some of the fact that some of those original players are becoming leaders in other ways. Like, I mean, the fact that Amanda Frugia, the Fridge, is now the ambassador for the 2020 season. I think that's
great.
For
the Premiership Cup.
Well, because she's the first AFLW player to become an ambassador. So that's exciting.
So it was Susan Alberti was the first year, I think.
Yeah, and then
last year was Jan Cooper, and... sorry to the person we've missed in the middle. I can't remember. But it's a 12-month role. And I think they go around to schools and communities and all sorts of people. So we'll get her on at some stage this year
and
chat about how that's going.
Yeah, she's been such a wonderful leader as well. Also, they did a bit of a fun thing where the captains got to make their tips for the season.
Oh, yes.
The majority of them tipped North Melbourne. Melbourne got 3 votes, Adelaide got 2, and Richmond got 1. But I thought that was interesting. Right? Mm. I mean, North Melbourne, they've obviously got inside knowledge that we all don't have, knowing the players probably a bit more intimately.
And Melbourne as well,
Yeah, the majority of them tipped North Melbourne.
It's like AFL season. We're all waiting for Melbourne to really come out and shine.
Yeah.
Should we have a quick run through all the teams?
Yes,
and
we should.
And just maybe a little bit of info on each team.
We should keep ourselves
up to date and everyone else as well, I suppose.
We should. Well, we've gone alphabetically. Through the teams, because that's the way we like to work. I had a look at Adelaide. So, as you said, Motti, Chelsea and Randall is out for the season injured. Erin Phillips won't make it back for round one, but may play in the season at some stage.
How long? So, she's not in round one. Do you think...
If you've got an ACL...
Yeah, because it's not like, 1 week's going to make the difference, is it? Well, what do I know? I'm not a doctor, but...
Yes.
So, if she plays...
Yeah, they're saying she might play. There's some good players still at Adelaide. Ebony Marinoff, Renee Forth, Jess Foley, and Beck Dahl's personal favourite,
yes.
Mariana Ratchick. Did I say it right, Bechdel?
We'll hear.
Yes,
I think it's Rychik.
Rychik. Something like that. We'll ask Beck, because she spent a lot of time making sure that she got the pronunciation of that name correct.
So let's, in a simpler way, we won't say who we think's going to win, but why don't we go top half, bottom half, as in they're going to finish in the top half or the bottom half.
So where do we think Adelaide are going to... Oh, Adelaide would have to finish
in the top half.
I reckon top half.
Yeah. Okay, Brisbane, top half, bottom half?
Bottom.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
They
lost people.
They
did actually lose a bit in the trade.
They lost their captain over at Leah Kessler's
and
gone.
Sabrina Frederick.
She's now at the Suns.
She's at the Suns, and Sabrina Frederick's gone down to Richmond. So, and they're not. Oh, Kate McCarthy.
And then I think Gold Coast. The Gold Coast have pinched a couple of their players as well.
Have.
They've gone cross town.
They have.
And of course, Jess. Poor old Jess
Wushner. She actually got in the off season. Got struck by lightning whilst working on the crib of a ship.
What are the odds?
She works on a ship. That's amazing. But, yeah, got struck by lightning, so was out for a couple of weeks.
News is in.
Yes.
Rychik. Thanks, Bechdel.
Thank you.
And thanks for listening, Bechdel. We also had a look. I had a look at Carlton. There's a couple of obvious, you know, players that we'll keep our eye on this season. Taylor Harris is playing again. She won Mark of the Year last year.
Best drop punt in the club.
And there was a statue made of her during the off season
That's great.
So, it was moved from Fed Square. Does anyone know where it went?
No, I haven't seen it.
Yeah,
check a few backyards. Someone slipped down in the night.
Maddie Press-Barkas, 2019 Rising Star. I think she's going to be a top player this year.
I am such a fan of her because she's a proper footballer.
Did her sister get drafted?
I don't know. I don't recall.
There was something in the winds about that. Collingwood. We had a chat to Steph Chiocci, didn't we?
We did.
Moddy. And she's captaining the team, I think, for the fourth year in a row. The interesting thing is she's taken unpaid leave.
Yeah, so she's not working for the
She's taken unpaid leave
season.
As a teacher.
Good on her.
Yeah. Because she's finding she can't do both. So that's interesting. I wonder, you know, how that works positively for her going forward.
Yeah, I think that's a good sign. Chloe Malloy, she was injured last year.
She had that awful foot injury, didn't she? That
So she was out, which was really disappointing. But she was a 2018 Rising Star, but she's back for this season, so I think she's going to be someone to watch. And Jamie Lambert, she won the Best and Fairest last year, so I think she's going to be a good player for Collingwood too.
Yep. Where do we... Top? Oh, we forgot Carlton.
Collingwood. Collingwood haven't... They haven't had much luck, have they?
Disappointing to watch.
Yeah.
I think bottom half and I think Carlton top half.
I think Carlton and Collingwood bottom half.
Oh, okay. Bang.
Mm-hmm. And they're both in the same conference, so that
I think they'll be too destroyed by last year.
Oh, toughened you up.
No, half is at the helm. Our man
that's true.
Andy Harford.
And is Andy Marr still the runner?
I don't know. Yeah. Well, all eyes on them on Friday night.
Frio. I had a quick look at Frio. There'll be the first WA derby between the West Coast Eagles and Frio during the season on Feb 15th, so that's the second round. It's going to be a fundraiser for the bushfires, so I think it's $3 entry.
Awesome.
That'll go to the bushfires, and then some of the players are giving away signed things.
Wonderful.
And memorabilia. But Frio are going to be losing Dana Hooker, which I think is a big loss to the Eagles.
Massive.
Massive, painful loss. But they have kept their five-player leadership group, Cara Dinellan, Ebony Antonio, Kiara Bowers, Evie Gouch and Gabby O'Sullivan. They've all recommitted. So they could they
another
could be all
right. Message. Danny McGinlay has said Andy Marr is the runner again.
Ah, oh, there you go.
Excellent.
Thank you, Danny.
Thanks, Danny.
Okay.
We need to have some fact checkers on the...
We do. And I've also got another message from Breeza. Breeza has said we should tell people what conferences the teams are in. I'm going to say
lucky
that
we
there
have
are
that information.
There are seven teams in Conference A and there are seven in B.
And some of them play each other and some of them don't. Yeah.
And that's what we understand of the situation.
And what we know to be true for the entire season is people will be infuriated by the existence of the conference system.
Correct.
Yeah. There we go. Now, did you have some to go through?
I did. Rage? G comes after F, I think. So away I go. So their captain is Melissa Hickey. That's pretty grand.
Do you mean G as in Geelong?
G as in Geelong. Sorry. First round, they play. Who do they play? Fremantle. They're going to have four matches at their home ground, which is a win for local fans. I think that's fantastic. However, I feel that four home games.
Geelong.
What is it with Geelong? AFLW and the AFL, just a little bit of preferential treatment
four
there.
Four out of eight.
Moving right along.
Here goes Rachel.
Only a Hawthorn fan would sniff that out.
Exactly. Oh, they were the lowest scoring team in the 2019 season.
Were they?
They were.
Wow.
So, look, and I think they need to be more cohesive. I think they're quite good in the inside 50, but there's not a lot of ball movement. So my understanding is that what they've been working on in their pre-season. So next we have the Gold Coast Suns. So it's their first campaign for this expansion club. They've got 16 players on their list who are yet to play an AFLW women's game. They get a few people from the Lions, but they're quite a young and inexperienced team.
And so Tiana Ernst, I think, went up there from the Bulldogs too.
And Kassler will be co-captaining with Sam Virgo, which will be good. They play the Gold Coast Suns in their first round. It's the alphabetical order does not work for me, apparently. They play Greater Western Sydney. Ta-da! Who brings me to GWS. So we've spoken about Amanda Frugia. That the captain's role is now Alicia Ever, and I believe she was the vice-captain.
She was, yeah.
Last year. The Giants,
Fridge will leave a hole, though, a fridge-sized hole.
Yes, look, I definitely think so. The Giants are yet to win round one game since joining the competition, so it'll be interesting to see what happens this week. Their pre-season focus has also been on moving the ball in different patterns and dominating a contested possession count, so it could be interesting to watch. The midfielder, Britt Tully, is also making a comeback this year, so they'll strengthen their midfield. I think they could be a possible wild card. Could be in the top.
All right.
There we go. Melbourne, look, we've spoken about Daisy Pearce. She's amazing. Let's just concentrate on how great she is. High expectations, but I think she'll elevate the Demons, so go her.
Yep.
They've got great midfield.
Mm-hmm.
All right, shall we continue on with our footy chat a bit later in the show?
Sure.
Because we've got a chat with Tilly Lucas-Rod from the Saints AFLW team coming up. You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9. We've just been running through all the teams. There's 14 of them now.
I know. So we've got a few more to go.
Yeah, I'm feeling a bit left out because our team still doesn't have a team.
I know, I'm quite devastated.
But
who knows?
There will come a day where there'll be 18 women's teams along 18 men's teams.
Exactly, and the VFLW is also an excellent competition, so go out there and watch it.
Yes. Well, are you going to any games this weekend?
Oh, this weekend maybe not, but definitely in the future.
You're not coming on Friday night?
No.
Oh, we'll be there, won't we, Moddy?
Defo.
Carlton Richmond. And we'll hopefully get out to Moorabbin as well on a Sunday. And speaking of which, we have Tilly Lucas-Rod from the Saints AFLW debut team. Welcome to Chicks Talking Footy, Tilly.
Hi, guys. How are you?
We're great. How are you going?
I'm great. I'm really good.
Pumped?
Yeah, pumped. Really excited. We've got one more training session and then it's all systems go for Sunday.
Yes, it'll be exciting to have the team playing in Moorabbin this season. How's the feeling about the team debuting at the Saints' spiritual home?
Yeah, it's really exciting. It's a good feel around the club. I didn't grow up going for Saints, and I'm probably a bit young for when they played games there. But I've heard a lot of stories in the build-up to this week about the importance of, having games at Moorabbin and how exciting it was for people when they were younger to go there. So it's really a huge honour for the girls to be able to bring it back to Moorabbin and play games out of there for everyone, the club and the girls and the fans as well.
Yeah, well, I'm sure if you speak to fans that are old enough that you'll be hearing about Tony Lockett watching him on a Saturday afternoon kicking 25 goals.
Exactly. Now, you came over from Carlton, Tilly. What's the difference between, or is there an obvious difference between what St Kilda, how they go about it and how Carlton do?
I think a lot of clubs kind of go about it in the same way. I mean, in terms of the training standards and the amount of training, it's pretty similar. But, I love my time at Carlton. I loved all the girls and it was a great 3 years there. And the same at Saints, I really We've got a great group. We've got a really good culture. That's led from the top by Pete and all the coaches. So, yeah, it's pretty similar, but in terms of, yeah, it's just a really good culture at Saints, and I feel like in there I'm playing my best footy. So that's, it's personally, it's pretty good for me to be at Saints.
Yeah, that's great. And it must be a real privilege to be coached under Peter Searle. You know, she's, first of all, the only woman that is coaching an AFLW team. But she also brings such a wealth of experience with her time down in Darebin. And there was a great quote for her from her on the Facebook page. It said, "I can promise you in the South we'll fall in love with this team. We are proud. We are one. We are relentless. We are ourselves." What's it like to be coached by such a legend?
Yeah, Peter's a legend. She's a great character. She's quite stern, but I think we all, you know, kind of get underneath that. She's got a really soft side as well. As you said, she's really knowledgeable on the game, which she's kind of, you know, passed on to all the girls so far. And it's just an inspiration. She's done a lot for female footy and also just females in general being in a male-dominated industry. So she's a huge inspiration to all us girls.
And we're talking to Tilly Lucas-Rod from the Saints here. So, Tilly, who else has Peter got on the coaching staff? Are there any players or ex-players helping her out?
Yeah, so we have Farron Ray. He's in charge of the midfield. He used to play for Saints, obviously. Mm. And then my line coach in the defence is James Wall. So he was at Saints, but I think he just played in the VFL level. And then we've got Paddy Hill, who was at Hawthorn, so he's in charge of the forwards.
We're quite devastated about that.
You've got two Hawthorn supporters in the studio. We have noticed that some of the recruitment strategies seem to revolve around picking our players.
Yeah, we've got a lot of
ex-Hawks
girls, don't we?
Well, but Paddy's a great get. Like, that's, yeah, that's a wonderful recruit.
Yeah, he's great. So he's obviously with AFL program and the AFLW program, and then he'll be heading the VFLW program as well. So he's going to be really good to have around for the whole year.
Yeah, and look, he is such a passionate, amazing coach. I've had a lot to do with him through Hawthorn. But there's also some other players like Emma Mackey, Rosie Dillon, Tamara Luke, Mel Keys, you know, that have come across. We're not bitter, but we just want to be mentioned in the speeches.
The girls are great. I absolutely love them, those four, so they're great.
Yeah. But seriously, though, who are the players that you think, let's keep an eye, let's look out for them on the field?
Well, you've obviously got the young guns. You've got GP at quite a high pick, so she's really talented.
Now, yeah, just tell us GP's
Georgia.
Actual name.
Georgia Patricia, sorry. Georgia, yep. Around the trap. Yep. And then you've got other young guns, Nick Zenos and Tani White. They're going to be really exciting. But then, because we've obviously had to pull talent from other states, we've got people, some more mature age players, I'd say. People like Hannah Priest from South Australia. She's really exciting. And, yeah, we've got depth all around the ground, so there's going to be lots of exciting players to watch out for.
Well, you've got a few of the, the Brisbane girls, Kate McCarthy and Nadek.
Exxon,
who are great midfielders, aren't they? Mm. And then you've got Kat Phillips from Melbourne zipping along the wings there. So that's
we've gone
pretty fast.
Gone for a bit of speed, haven't we?
You have. That's really good.
Well, actually, Georgia's been tipped.
Too much.
Georgia's actually been tipped by all the captains to be win the Rising Star Award.
Wow.
So yeah, she's just a very naturally talented footballer. You watch her out there at training or in practice games. She just has a way of finding the footy. It kind of looks quite effortless watching her play. I wish we'd all kind of look like that. I wish I'd looked a bit like that, but she's great.
Do you think, Tilly, that because Georgia and, you know, a bunch of others that were came from last year or the last 2 years didn't have a break in their, you know, footy career, do you think that's made a difference?
Yeah, for sure. I think if you look at all the young talent that's coming through, they look like natural, born and bred footballers. Mm. Unfortunately for them, as you said, they've had that pathway right through. So I think that in terms of the level of the talent we see coming through, it's just going to continue to get better and grow as, you know, the pathways get stronger.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, that must be exciting for you as well to, you know, play alongside those. So you've got, as you said, you've got senior people and then you've got the young guns.
Yeah, for sure. I think I read a quote from, I think Daisy today said something about coming back and thinks she's still up to it with all these young talents coming through. And I think it's really going to drive a high standard with, you know, some people that are a bit older or, you know, in that middle age bracket. It's just really exciting for us to be able to play off with them and kind of learn off them. Those girls, as I said, have been through will have been through an elite pathway from a young age, so they're just going to drive higher standards, which will be make the footy better for everyone.
That's great.
Yeah, well, just quietly, I caught up with Rhiannon White, your captain, at the AFLW launch, and she said you are one of the players to look out for. So there you go.
yeah, no, she actually told me. She gave me a shout-out.
also, I was at the Midsummer Pride March on Sunday, and we marched with the AFL Pride Collective. It was quite a big representation from the Saints. Peter Searle and a handful of the AFLW players were there. They were handing out Saints flags with the rainbow flag on it and all that sort of thing. St Kilda's always been a really big supporter of the LGBTI community, and I know there's a Pride match coming up. I hope you're aware of that.
I am.
Good. but, you know, as a player, why do you think that sort of thing's important?
I think we're really lucky to have the platform we do to kind of spread any message that is close to us, and I think in the footballing community a lot of us have found being part of the LGBTIQ community, footy is a safe place for us. So I think with our platform we can kind of spread that positive message that doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, you're accepted in footy. And I think as the game grows, it's kind of, we have to do that as role models in the community. I think, you know, we can really create change and promote acceptance in the wider community.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that visibility is really important, and especially means a lot to young people when they go along and see, you know, the players, inclusion with the players and that kind of thing. So the Chicks Talking Footy team will be down there, so we'll shout out for you in the, on the field. And
our very own. Chicks Talking Footy's very own.
Yeah, that's right.
Our ambassador. but thanks so much for coming on, Tilly. It was a real pleasure to talk to you, and good luck with the, you know, debut on Sunday with the game down at Moorabbin. We wish you all the best for the season.
Thanks, Tilly.
Thanks for having me on, and I'll see you at Pride Round then.
Yeah, great.
I'll see you there, Tilly.
Thanks, Tilly.
See you then. Bye.
Yeah, speaking of which, of the Saints, so I did catch up with Rhiannon Watt, the captain there, so at the AFLW launch, and she's great. She's going to be a really good leader of that team. But yes, okay, well,
We go back talking about the clubs?
Yes.
Back to the AFLW list.
Exactly. Where did we get
clearly
to?
I'm excellent at the alphabet, as we all know now, so maybe don't trust me.
We did get to N.
Okay, well, then I went N onwards, so that has me at North Melbourne, which I was interested that all the captains, or most of the captains, are saying that North is going to win. I mean, they've got Emma Carney, obviously, elite midfielder. They've got Jasmine Garner, who's a brilliant goal kicker, and they've got Emma King, who's a ruck and full forward.
Emma King's great.
Brilliant. And Jasmine Greer has been playing very well, training the house down, apparently.
As you do.
Jess Duffin is out as she's out for the year, or maybe beyond, because she's pregnant. So congratulations to Jess.
Wonderful news.
But
it's a new category of injury, isn't it?
Yeah, so they're the main things.
Yeah, I don't know if it should be called in.
It felt like it when I was pregnant.
Yeah, so they're their absolute stars, and I guess the stars, as like Tilly said, you know, it helps the other team members aspire to be great players. So.
And they can provide that leadership.
That's right. And North have been very progressive in the AFLW
space. They actually
did very well
in the first season they played. They just lost that last game that kept them out of the finals. So
we never know.
I would expect them to be top half. The Richmond Tigers. So, I mean, there's a lot of big rap on them, isn't there? I have my team Essendon aren't in the league yet, and I've been thinking, do I join someone?
Season four, you're starting to think about that.
No, I joined the Bulldogs in season one.
Did you? Are you actually a proud paid-up member?
Yes, and then I joined someone else in two. I can't remember who that was. No one last year. Now I'm thinking, should I join Richmond? Then I went, you know what? No. They've got 100,000 members. They don't need me, and they've got amazing players they've recruited. So my question around it, so they've got Katie Brennan and Sabrina Frederick.
Breeza is going to be sniffing you out now.
No, sorry, Breeza, it's not happening. They've got the sniffing is not happening, but also the membership.
Get away from me, Breeza.
So Katie Brennan and Sabrina Frederick have both, you know, big, massive names in the AFLW, and they're both down the forward line at Richmond. It'll be interesting how hopefully they gel and play together, because that could be a very fierce. Who's going to get the ball to them? That's a big question. Monique Conti is a champ. She also came from the Bulldogs. But I'm not sure who else is going to play around her in the midfield to get it down to them. But she's significantly in the same way Steph Chiocci has changed her off-field setup. Mon was playing for the Melbourne Boomers in basketball, and she's decided not to play anymore and focus only on football.
Great.
So that'll be interesting to see how it affects affects her on
Richmond field. Might also be whining... riding the wave of their success in the men's competition as well. I think everybody's still very excited about Richmond after 2019, and I think they're riding that wave.
Yeah, and what I've heard about Richmond is they've got, you know, the few stars up the front that have got lots of experience, but then the gap between...
Yeah, as Monty said.
Like I was saying, yeah.
How do you get the ball to the
champs? Or St Kilda we've pretty well touched on with Tilly... Lucas Rod, so that's great. And the one thing is that team played together in St Kilda, in the St Kilda in the VFL comp.
Yes.
So they have some cohesion there, which might make a difference. The only thing I've got to say about West Coast is Dana Hooker.
Like what I had to say about Melbourne. Yeah. Daisy Pierce.
And then I add Michelle Cowan is an assistant forward line coach there, so she'll bring a wealth of knowledge to them. Bulldogs. They've lost Katie Brennan, Monique Conti and Tiana Ernst in terms of big names who have... She's gone north to the Suns. Isabel Huntington will be playing, hopefully, a first full season. Mm. And her potential is huge. So if she lives up to that. Gabby Newton, they got the number one draft pick and they actually got four picks in the top ten.
Oh, there you go.
And Lachlan's predicted to kick the most goals.
Your she personal favourite.
My personal favourite.
And also Isabella Grant they got as father-daughter. So that's Chris Grant's daughter. So there's a lot of good there. Nathan Burke is the coach and Bob Murphy is the leadership and environment coach.
Bob Murphy. Also, the Bulldogs are hosting their Pride game again on February the 22nd.
That's right. And we will be broadcasting.
We are broadcasting at that Pride game.
Which will be brilliant. And Boundary Beck will be back and all your favourite people will be chatting to.
Yes. And, gosh, we're going to be busy that weekend, aren't we? Because also Geelong and Adelaide, I've got wind, are having a Pride game as well.
Really?
That weekend on the Sunday.
Did you say you've got wind?
I've got wind. in non-footy related news.
So, yeah, that's it. So it's 14 brilliant teams and we can't wait to see what happens.
Wonderful. Well, we have a very wonderful special guest coming up in just a moment. Nicole Livingston, the head of AFLW, will be chatting to her in just a moment.
Welcome back to Chicks Talking Footy. You're with Motti, you're with Fee and you're with Rachel. We're having an excellent first game back and it's about to get more excellent because on the line is the chief of the AFLW, Nicole Livingston. Hi there, Nicole.
Hello. And you're even going to get live footy action in the background because I'm sitting watching Collingwood train.
Are you? Well, you can give us
I'm
the
not
inside.
I'm going to start commentating.
Call the game.
But I will say, touch wood, they're doing okay in terms of moving into the first round with not too many injuries, which a few of the clubs are struggling with at the moment. But watching a very organised outfit here tonight doing just a bit of craft work, which is nice to see.
How's Chloe Malloy going?
She looks really good. I was just... I was commenting that she actually has a really good suntan as well.
Well, that's important.
Yeah, it is. No, she's looking really good, actually, moving freely. Shani Layton, I'm having a look at her as well, and she's I'm hearing she's flying in ruck duty, so we'll wait and see what happens this weekend at Vic Park. But, yeah, I think the year of VFLW and AFLW last year has served her very well.
Well, that's good, because, you know, that's a very brave thing Shani did to just, come over to AFLW having never played the game before.
Yeah, very brave. And given that every one of our games are broadcast live on national television, it even adds that layer of bravery to it.
Yeah, sure does. Now, the season, we talked earlier in the show that the season launch of the competition was earlier in the week, and you stated that 2020 was meant to be the year the women's comp started. So looking back, do you think it was the right decision to plunge into it much earlier?
Yeah, look, I think if we I look at the movement that's taken in women's sport, and I think if we had waited to 2020, we would have been behind, what the movement is now. So You know, you look at the extraordinary achievements of female athletes and the attention and focus on female athletes. And if the AFL didn't have a national league that was allowing women to follow their passion and their dreams, then, yeah, we certainly would have been behind other sports.
Yeah, it's I mean, it's been incredible, the growth that we've had just in 4 years. I mean, I look at it and think we're sitting in really what's a revolution in women's sport. And you read out some of the big numbers at the AFLW launch this week. I mean, 587,000 women and girls playing the game.
Yeah, it's pretty extraordinary. The year-on-year growth has been huge for us, and, you know, that is driven by the fact that they can see what they want to be, and there's now pathways in place, the investment not only in the league itself, but the talent pathways that sit below. We now have staff in every state and territory office that look after women's football. So, you know, that's really starting to flow through as well.
Definitely. And there's, you know, I listened to Gil McLaughlin say 61 matches, 420 players, 14 teams and 27 venues. They're massive, isn't it?
Yeah, it is massive. And, you know, you think about even just the 27 venues, and a lot of those venues are the suburban grounds that, you know, don't have similar infrastructure of the big stadium. So for our team that set up each of those venues, it's massive. It's a massive effort for them to get that up and happening. But, you know, when you turn up to, and which you've been following it from day one, when you turn up to a suburban football ground and you see an AFLW match, you see nothing but passion and pride and joy. And I think that's something that I'm filled with pride about. And what we do know is that if people come and watch an AFLW game, when they get there, they are absolutely converted to be fans. And then when it's on the telly, they'll pay more attention to it, really engage with it, as opposed to it maybe just being a bit of white noise in the background on the telly. So we hope to get as many coming to our games as we possibly can.
So yeah. With the television you mentioned earlier that every game is broadcast, where do we see them all? How many on Channel 7?
Yeah, so on our so we have a couple of regular games on Channel 7. So three of the games are on Channel 7 and four are on Fox. So Fox Sports and also Channel 7.
And on the AFLW website?
Yeah. Thank you for doing that. You also get to see it, thanks to Telstra, via our app. And if you haven't got the app yet, it's really quite fantastic. We've just updated it. And lots of rich content on there, not just being able to see the game. So, yeah, the app. And also womens.afl is the website. And on the men's side of the business, afl.com.au, they'll also be streaming the women's game.
Oh, fabulous. Yeah. That's great.
Got it all going on.
Now, going back to speaking about suburban grounds, the game on Friday night at Icon Park, are we going to be able to get a seat?
Yeah, get there early. The doors open at 6, so if you are not early enough and we get close to capacity, we have a screen on the northern lawn.
Oh, great.
So we've got the big screen set up, and it's touch wood, because I don't like talking about weather when we get to February in Australia, but it is looking like the forecast is pretty good. So we're confident that if you want to come down to watch the footy at Princess Park, then we'll find a place for you to see it.
And so this year, Richmond and Carlton, did the teams have to put in requests as to when and where they play in the same way that the AFL clubs do?
Yeah, and those requests went out to AFL clubs at the same time for the men's and the women's fixtures. So we asked them a preference of their home ground and any other special matchups that they were looking for. I mean, clearly we wanted to make sure that we got the Derby in there. The Q Clash was another one that we were looking for. You know, only one team in Adelaide, so we don't get the showdown. But, you know, we wanted to make sure that we also got those great options. We always want to try our best to make sure that Melbourne, the Bulldogs, play, because that was the foundation match that got us to where we are today. And I like the idea of a new rivalry as well this weekend of heading out to RSCA Park at Moorabbin or Linton Street and seeing the Doggies and the Saints. That's kind of nice as well.
Yeah, we just spoke to Tilly Lucas Rod. There's a lot of excitement down there, I think.
I think the Saints are going to go pretty well, you know. I think they've recruited well.
They have.
From Hawthorn.
Yeah. And let's not forget that they've got a woman coaching them as well, so I'm sure they'll go very well.
They will. And a champion coach too.
Yes.
Indeed. Now, you mentioned before that there have been some clubs who have sustained quite a number of injuries and they're all going to need to top up their list with supplementary players as a safeguard. What do you think the reason is for quite a number of injuries that have occurred in the pre-season?
Yeah, so they don't get to top up their list until they're unable to field a team. So 21 players and two emergencies. So once they get to 22, then they can apply to have a top-up player. They've elevated some train-on players, and I'm sitting here watching Collingwood. They've got their train-on players here tonight. So a train-on player is able to play once or train once a week with the club for experience. Mm. And what we've done is we asked the clubs if they feel like they wanted to upgrade the rights of the train-on player to be able to train three times a week, then they can apply to us to upgrade those train-ons. And some clubs did take that option, particularly if they felt like they were getting a bit slim on their numbers, so that the train-on player, if they were there for three times a week, they were able to fit in if they are topped up. So they're able to fit in much more easily. Even from a player health and safety point of view, they're a bit more exposed to the football. So, I mean, we haven't had to bring a top-up player in since the first year. And in the first year, we had list sizes of 27. So I can't tell you the exact reason why there's, you know, a couple of the clubs. I mean, I look at GWS last year. GWS had quite a few injuries and they were getting close to that magic number. And then this year they've got 30 players available. Touch wood. I continue to knock on wood every time I say things like that. Similarly for Collingwood, you know, they've got pretty much everyone out here.
And so just can you give me an example sort of a train-on player? Are these juniors like 17-year-olds or are they people that maybe fringe players?
So some of them are 17 turning into their 18th year. So because we are a sport with adults, so our rookies do need to be 18 by the time they play. So they're fringe players. So an example of a couple of the players that are around as train-ons, the likes of Kirby Bentley, who has played before, you know, she's a train-on player. So, you know, players that maybe haven't been signed by one of the clubs for the particular year, they can make themselves available for train-ons, or those that just miss out on the draft. So I know there was a few that missed out at the draft, and I could see the coaches sort of coming to talk to those players that missed out about coming out and being train-on players.
It's a great idea. Mm. It's really good. Mm. It's another pathway for development, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly right. And I like the idea. Collingwood tonight actually have train-on coaches as well. So they've got three coaches coming through their program. That's almost like a She Can Coach program where they're spending time almost doing an internship. So they're out here tonight as well. So
that's brilliant.
Does look like it's a bit staff-heavy, but they've got three females out here that are coaching with them.
Wonderful. Well, one other great thing that's happened is obviously some big sponsors have come on board for this season as well, like BHP and NAB's back on board as well. We're very excited about AFLW Season 4. It just seems like there's a whole new energy and life to the season, and we think you're doing a great job. So hopefully we'll see you at the Pride game on the 22nd as well.
You will definitely see me at the Pride game, and I think St Kilda are doing one the Friday before that as well, so I'll be at both of them. And I thank you for your support, because I know you guys are right behind me, so thank you very much.
Yeah, we live for that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Pleasure, Nick.
All right. Thanks so much, Nicole.
See you at the footy.
We'll see you at the footy.
Thank you.
Bye.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I love Nick.
Yeah, I think she's just such a great communicator.
She inspires a great deal of passion about the game.
Yeah, she obviously loves her job. So, lots of games coming up this weekend. Richmond and Carlton obviously launching the season on Friday night. Hopefully to see you all down there. And
Or watching it.
Watching at home like myself.
Watching at home like Rachel.
One thing I want to see in that, I really want to see Katie Brennan just absolutely tear it apart. You know, she's had 3 years and none of them have been injury-free, and she's just an incredible athlete. So I'd love to see her really, kick off. Breeza is starting to annoy me now because she has messaged in again and she's gone to, in reference to me saying I was going to join Richmond.
I heard you. I told you she'd sniff you out.
I know. She sniffed me out. It was uncomfortable. But too late, Moddy. I've signed you up. Peggy is thrilled. She's got me.
I told you. She's made some of my Swan supporter friends into Tiger Swans.
Oh, goodness.
So I do love that. I think that's cute.
Breeza will be on air next week. She's our resident Richmond supporter.
I'm sure she'll have a lot to say about the game on Friday.
We've got 7 matches, and look it up online and you find out where they're being played but go and see a game.
And come and say hello to us at the football. This has been the first episode of Chicks Talking Footy. You can follow us on the socials, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We love to chat all week long about football. Otherwise, you can chat, or you can follow us on our podcast and rate us on iTunes. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.